first met Sharkboy, fishing on a dock. As a child, he'd been swept to sea by a storm. He was saved by the sharks, who raised him as their own. He grew gills and fins. His teeth became sharp, and we became friends. Then, one night, I was visited by a glowing girl.
Lava girl.
With skin of molten lava. She told me she had come to take Sharkboy back to her home, Planet Drool, because something terrible was happening there. That was the last time I saw them. And that's what I did this summer.
We were supposed to tell true stories.
That is a true story.
How many people think Max's story is true?
Not true.
Made up.
Everyone always knew that Max had a wild imagination.
Max, there's no such thing as Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
What they didn't know is that his greatest creation.
Everybody down!
Were real.
It's them.
I'm looking for Max. We need you to save Planet Drool. Come with us.
Now, two heroes will show an ordinary boy he has the power to become extraordinary.
Today we're going to do a film analysis. Sharkboy, Lava Girl. You know the deal. It's called The Adventures of Sharkboy and Lava Girl in 3D. What a lengthy title that is. Now you're probably thinking, Isaac, why are you doing this? Why are you talking about a kid's movie that's 15 years old? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. Well, let me tell you about what's going to be in this movie analysis. Because here's why I'm doing this for you. There's all these themes of occult symbolism to be found in this movie. We got the magical manifestations of reality from the Kabbalah, the ritual magic. We got Blavatsky's theories of Vril energy and Tibetan philosophies from Crowley and Blavatsky and all that stuff. And of course, the alien agenda. The alien agenda plays a role. Now, why are we doing this show? Well, you see, I've got this thing called Patreon, and on Patreon, people talk to me, and I read, and I listen, and I get many, many, many requests for many films and shows, and watch this, and watch that, read this, read that, and I appreciate all of them, but I don't have time to get to all of them. That's the sad, cruel nature of my reality. So generally, it comes down to some subjective formula of how much time I've got on my hands, how interested in the subject I am, and the potential findings of whatever this is, right? So this guy on Patreon, he hit me up. He said, "Dude, I just watched this movie with my kids, and I appreciate that." He actually said, says, "I know you're not into kids movies, but you should really, really watch this." Okay, all right. He asserted there was so much occult symbolism in the damn thing, and I thought, and I get this all the time, and I'm like, okay, all right, fine. I'll put it on the list, and I'll watch it someday. And then he broke down a couple of the symbols, which helps. Anytime you want me to do something, an analysis, send me what you, well, why, right? Like, everyone always, oh, you got to watch this. Go watch this movie. And, like, that's all I get. Like, it helps if you tell me why. Okay, so that gives you more bonus points in my subjective formula. So he went through a list of ideas, and I thought, okay, I'm interested. I'm intrigued. Then he said, he says, if I'm wrong and I waste your time or you regret watching it, I will literally donate $100 and become a tier 3 supporter. Well, okay. Don't threaten me with a good time, buddy. So, yeah. And of course I wouldn't do that to my people. I wouldn't hold you to that agreement. I appreciate the offer. I would never hold you to that, even if this was a real dud, which it wasn't. So shout out, Andrew. This was a good one. And don't take offense if I don't watch your movies or your shows, especially kids stuff. I don't do this. This is not typical, okay? But he, you know, it was just pathetic enough that I thought, okay, I'll throw him a bone. So I watched it for like five. It was on Netflix, right? So I watched it for a few minutes, and luckily enough, I sat through the whole thing. And here we go. We're gonna talk about all this. So as always, I will start it out with: would I recommend this film? Absolutely not. No, of course not. It's stupid. It's a kids' movie. I hate kids' movies. I don't have kids. I don't have an imagination. I'm a bitter old man. No, don't watch it. It's stupid. It's 90 minutes, though, so I appreciate that. Shout out Andrew. He knows. He knew what was up. But you know what's better than 90 minutes? How about 60 minutes? Because, thank goodness, and this is part of the reason I did watch it, Netflix had a 1.5 speed option. I didn't realize that before. I never noticed, never saw that before. I watched it on a Firefox browser, and I thought 1.5 speed, yes please. But yeah, I don't think it's a good movie at all. It's terrible. But you know, it's for kids, not for me. Just like Beyonce, it ain't for me. So like, who cares what I think? It wasn't designed for me. But what was curious, and again, another reason, because you know, I do a little bit of recon when people send me this kind of stuff. A little bit of recon. There's going to be a reboot sequel type film dropping on December 25th on Netflix. So I thought, okay, it's kind of relevant too. Let's watch this movie. And a fun fact: another reason that I was intrigued to watch this movie was that Andrew told me that Danny Trejo, the actor who plays in a film called Machete, which I haven't seen, is a character that's a spinoff from the Spy Kids movies, which was directed also by Robert Rodriguez, who directed this Shark Boy Lava Girl film. Now, Machete is obviously, it's kind of more of a graphic sort of, what do you call it? Like a grindhouse horror movie? Like Quentin Tarantino had? But Rodriguez also had the Spy Kids movies, which I guess are in the same universe as Sharkboy, Lava Girl. I don't know. I'm not watching those. But I thought that was intriguing. That is weird because the kids in Spy Kids, their uncle is Machete. That's his name. And is played by Danny Trejo. So it's legitimately the same character that's in these graphic movies about chopping people up for the cartel or for the on the Mexican border there or whatever. I haven't seen Machete either, so. Now let's get into the movie. And I'll post these images on Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. Link in the show notes, as always. It starts off with a quote that's very telling. Like I said, this movie is all about, you know, if you were to distill this down, and it seems fairly innocuous, that it's about the power of thought. About creating your own reality. So Lava Girl says, the quote is, "Everything that is or was began with a dream." So far, you know, that doesn't mean it's a cult illuminate confirm yet. But let's get into the movie. So we find out the history of Shark Boy. It's this kid whose dad was a marine biologist. A storm hits. Boom, they're separated. You always got to separate the kids from the parents in these stories. Got to kill the parents, like I talked about in the Star Wars conspiracy book. It's in all the Star Wars stories. Some traumatizing parental figure incidents, and you hear the story about how, well, this kid Shark Boy, he was killed dad, and now he's being raised by sharks, which should ring a bell, because we talked about this and the origins of Rome in my Raised by Wolves three-part analysis.
But one day, an incredible, mysterious storm appeared. It swept away the entire laboratory. Thanks to the life rafts, Sharkboy and his father survived. But they survived on different sides of the wreckage, each floating off in a different direction. Sharkboy was completely alone. Almost completely. But one of the sharks recognized him.
"Hey, it's Shark Boy. Don't take a bite out of him, boys. He's a friend."
They took Sharkboy to their cave home, where he'd be safe and dry. His new family were sharks.
Fun fact, by the way, in case you didn't know, which I didn't either, Sharkboy in this movie is a young child version of Old Boy from Twilight. Not Robert Pattinson, not the vampire, not the glittery vampire, but the werewolf guy. Taylor Lautner or something like that. Anyway, that's Sharkboy. And he is not reprising his role in this December 25th sequel movie, much to the dismay of its fans. Because, I don't know, maybe he was embarrassed. He should be. So zoom out. We got the origin story down pat. Boom. Now we're introduced to the main protagonist of the story, Max. Boy, he's, I don't know, 12, 13. And he is in a classroom reading from a journal of sorts what he did this summer to the class. And he's telling the other kids in this classroom about how he met Shark Boy and Lava Girl. And they're like, oh, what is he talking about? He's making all this up. And he flips through this journal. It's a dream journal, we find out later. And again, I'll put this image on the Instagram. You got to see this one. If you pause it, like I did, you see indications that this dream journal, he is actually referring to Tibet. It has ice mountains and yetis. And I confirmed this later. When I saw it at the beginning, I thought, boy, I wonder if that's Tibet. Because Tibet plays a big role in the occult. In fact, yeti is a Tibetan word, right? That's where the idea comes from of this abominable snowman. Also, if you read from his little dream journal screenshot, the boy, he gets initiated by Lava Girl. And he finds this magical grimoire book of sorts under his bed. It basically says something about how concentrating thought is important, which is, you know, ritual magic, ceremonial magic. But the Tibet storyline is a big deal, because you have to understand the importance of Tibet in terms of the occult doctrines here. You got people like Helena Blavatsky, who's obviously the founder of Theosophy, which influenced Frank L. Baum, Wizard of Oz, and so on. You got Aleister Crowley, you know who he is. You got the Nazis, you know who they were. They all went to Tibet. They were seeking the wisdom. They were looking for Shambhala, where the secret golden age ascended masters live and ascend to higher planes of reality and all this stuff. If you read my first alien book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Huge Illusion 1, you read about the Tulpas in Tibet. These were mental manifestations that turned into entities. And we'll cover that later. We'll go back to that. Let's keep it moving. So Max, he's telling these fantasy stories about these make-believe people. And the teacher, George Lopez, played by George Lopez, his name is Mr. Electricidad. Okay, that's Spanish. That's me hablo un poco español. And he's Mr. Electricidad. And he represents the establishment. He's like the guy's like, Max, don't make stuff up. Why are you dreaming? Don't dream. And we'll come back to him in a minute. I'm going to keep this going with the flow of the film so you don't have to watch it like I did. Now, you'll also see, again, I'll put this image on the Instagram. Max, you'll see him wearing a shirt that has Jupiter and Saturn, just like the conjunction that occurred December 21, 2020. We did a whole show on the conjunction. Now, Max's parents, they also think he's fake news, making up Shark Boy and Lava Girl. Because you know what? Mom and Dad, they're part of the establishment, like Mr. Electricidad. They gave up on their dreams of their marriage that's crumbling apart. They're slaves to their work. They represent the mainstream, the masses. Meanwhile, Max is over here projecting thoughts and wishes into the world. Like, for instance, he's like, I don't want to go to school because everyone's bullying him now because he's making stuff up about fake friends. And he's like, I wish anything could happen. I don't want to go back to school. And he's projecting storms, the ideas of storms and all this stuff. Well, he goes back to school the next day, and Mr. Electricidad says he's not a teacher, he's an awakener, which is a very curious statement, right? And this plays a role, because, and I'll put this photo on Instagram too, but you'll see the lightning bolt on his tie. And this is important. The electricity, the name is electricity, right? Obviously. He's got the lightning bolt. He says he's an awakener. So you got like Luciferian, Promethean sort of elements here. But if you look at the Tibetan side of the house, Helena Blavatsky, she actually wrote a fair amount about electricity because this was a relatively new phenomenon in her days. We're talking about like late 1800s, Victorian era stuff. She said that electricity was a manifestation of the elementals. And she argued that it wasn't just some invisible force like the scientists of that day believed, but instead it was comprised of matter. And it turns out she was right. Because later they discovered the electron. Because previous to the electron, they just thought it was some kind of non-atomic force. And Blavatsky, of course, she is part of the... She very, very openly a Luciferian. Looking at the enlightenment of man through Lucifer. But like Mr. Electricidad says, he's an awakener. He's not a teacher, he's an awakener. Got to open up that third eye, bust that pineal gland open. Now, the next thing you know, the storm comes. So Max actually created this storm through the power of thought. And Shark Boy and Lava Girl show up to go grab Max from this classroom. And everyone sees him. They're like, oh, damn. Maybe he's not making this up. And this is, of course, Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. Again, refer to the Star Wars conspiracy. But this is the call to adventure. He has the call to adventure, and he now has to go to Planet Drool. And they proceed to tell him that he created them through his thoughts, and he created this Planet Drool. And he also creates this spaceship in his own mind, the one they use to get over to the planet. And it's pretty crazy, right? What they're saying there. They're saying he created reality, which is basically the idea I'm trying to present in my book, Use Your Illusion 1, about the aliens. I'm saying there's an element of that to be revealed in the alien agenda. And then you hear an interesting quote. They're talking about something along the lines of like how everything that ever existed came from a dream.
Recognize your dream world, Max?
Not really. I feel like I should, but I just don't.
It's affecting him too.
I thought he would just remember.
Remember what?
Your dreams. This planet. Us. Your powers.
I have powers?
More than any of us. Don't you know that? Everything that is, or was, began with a dream. And you dreamt us, Max. Us in this whole place.
So they're saying, look, you created us. The powers of your thought created reality. Let's go over to Planet Drool. Because it turns out some of your thoughts are actually bad. And there's an evil force taking over this planet. So when he dreams, it takes power away from Mr. Electric. This is on Planet Drool now. And there's weird parallels here. You got Mr. Electricidad, who's in the real world as the teacher. But then you got Mr. Electric on Planet Drool, who's like this transhuman sort of thing. So if the kids are dreaming, it takes the power away from Mr. Electric. So he keeps them all awake. And he's supposed to bring light to the planet, but all he does is bring darkness. then we find out that, and as the story goes on, you hear more about the origins of Sharkboy and Lava Girl. And they came from Mount Neverest, which obviously is a play on Mount Everest, which again, Mount Everest is in fact in Tibet. So again, this is for sure got some Tibetan influence on this story. So the kids, they're trying to, like, you know, beat Mr. Electric on Planet Drool. The kids all get sent to the dream graveyard where dreams go to die. And they're told, look, you need to go to the happy dream place, the land of milk and cookies. So they're on their way over there. And again, you hear more talk about how some dreams are so powerful that they become reality.
Any dream of his will become a nightmare. And you don't want those becoming a reality. But if you go to the land of milk and cookies,
of course,
that's where the good dreams are, where the answers are.
It's perfect, Max. The land of milk and cookies is a safe, sweet place. You'll be able to dream easily there. Can you take us?
I have no body. I can't move.
You can move your eyes and your mouth.
Why didn't you work back on Earth, Tobor?
Some dreams are so powerful they become real, like Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
So the kids, they're on their little journey, and they're like, okay, now we need to retrieve this crystal heart from the ice castle. But the bully, who's actually the same bully from the school, he's on Planet Drool also. And he has hijacked this dream book, the Grimwire book or whatever. But they get away. And what's curious here is that if you look at Blavatsky's Theosophy and Tibet and all that stuff, what's curious is that there is alleged to have been a parallel belief system to Theosophy circulating in Tibet hundreds of years prior to Blavatsky. And you got to understand, there's been people living in Tibet for over 20,000 years. Let that sink in. 20,000 years. Now, this parallel Theosophy religion, it was an oral tradition, right? They passed it down orally. This is, again, the translation of Kabbalah as oral tradition. But they passed it down to a guy named Dolpapa, who wrote it all down in the 1200s. In a book called The Mountain Dharma. And these teachings, which again are, like I said, supposed to be parallel to Blavatsky's The Secret Doctrine, these teachings are referred to as the Heart Doctrine. So here you got these kids going to the Tibetan ice castle to get the crystal heart in this movie. But the secret oral tradition, the secret mystery religion or whatever of Tibet, is the Heart Doctrine that Helena Blavatsky wrote The Secret Doctrine about. So Lava Girl, Shark Boy, they want to know the origins. Where do they come from? So they retrieve Max's dream book, the Grimoire book. And because remember, Max dreamt them into reality. So they're like, well, what did your dream say? Where did we come from? And Lava Girl grabs the book and she burns it up immediately. Duh. She's made of lava, right? And now she's mad at Max. You know? Now she's mad at him for inventing them into reality. It's his fault now. So they keep going. They finally make it to the Ice Princess. And they try to get the Crystal Heart. Because the Crystal Heart's going to stop time. She gives it to them. And they go over to the Dream Lair to fight Mr. Electric, Max, and we're almost done with the movie already. Can you believe that? Well, I told you it was a dumb kids movie. Okay. Max, he has these positive dreams now, and he becomes the Daydreamer. That's his superhero alter ego. And he fights Mr. Electric, defeats him. Then he's like, he goes to the bully because he's like, let's get some over here too. And he fights the bully, but he doesn't kill him. He teaches him not to destroy other people's dreams. And next thing you know, Max wakes up and he's back in school, right? Now he's back in school and the tornado that he dreamt up is manifesting and causing chaos in the school. And here comes mom and dad. His mom and dad finally show up to help. Played by David Arquette and, oh, what's her name? She was in Sex and the City. It doesn't matter. Mom and dad, they're very minor roles in this movie. They show up to help out. And remember, they were fighting, right? They were on the verge of divorce. And they're like, oh, now we got to save the kid. Let's go to school. You know, wind, tornado everywhere. And dad's holding on to mom's hand because she's getting sucked into the tornado, but he's holding on to her. And he lets her go. She gets sucked up into the tornado. And then Mr. Electricity Dove, he's on there. He's in the classroom. He's like talking to the kids, trying to help them out. And then Mr. Electric from Planet Drool shows up in the real world. And Mr. Electricity Dove solicits ideas from the kids on how to beat him. And he does. And then he's like, oh, Max, you know, you're the one that did this. You saved me. You awakened me. So now Max is the bestower of, he's got the boon, right? This is the boons from The Hero's Journey and Joseph Campbell. Coming back with the boons, the secret knowledge. So Max went into the Tibetan realm, got the secret knowledge and came back. And now he's awakening the masses. He's awakening Mr. Electricity Dove. And out of nowhere, here comes mom and dad. I guess mom found her way out of the tornado. Max reunites with the mom and dad. Boom, the nuclear family's back intact. And he gives a nice little speech about reality becoming a dream. But there's a very curious statement that Lava Girl, describing Lava Girl as the light present in all things.
The following story is true. It might have started as a dream, but as we saw yesterday, when we make our dreams a reality, reality becomes a dream. Sharkboy lives his dream as king of the ocean, where he cares for all its creatures. He searches for his father's submarine, where there is no light, except in one place, where light shines almost as bright as the sun. It's where Lava Girl lives her dream, as queen of Earth's volcanoes that boil at the bottom of the sea. A force of life for all living things. Sharkboy and Lava Girl don't visit me anymore. But I can visit them in my dreams.
Now in conclusion, we're already wrapping it up. The film is Illuminate confirmed. It has all the elements. It's got David Arquette and Luciferian lightning and manifesting reality from the thoughts. And then at the end you heard, Lava Girl is the light that's present in all things. Well, you know what that is? That's the Vril. That's the Chi. That's the Force. A lot of parallels with Star Wars here. That's the Force energy. Blavatsky said was present in all things. The light. Right? The light. The Luciferian light. Blavatsky uses a lot of those kinds of terms. And if you read, and here's where it gets interesting, right? If you read my book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1, you surely read about the Tulpa. Because this was, of course, in Tibet. I'm going to read to you from my book here. Look how nice I am. I'm not even going to force you to buy the book. What a guy. I'm going to read you from the book, so you don't have to go get it. I mean, if you want to, I'd love that. Drop your review. I'll read them. I've been reading them all. Great reviews. Okay, here we go. In a chapter called Manifesting Aliens Magic. A researcher named Alexandra David Neal visited the city of Lhasa, Tibet in 1924 after being inspired by Helena Blavatsky to inquire about Eastern religions. What followed was an account of supernatural powers, the Siddhis, such as levitation and telepathy, something the Tibetans viewed as a science that could be taught. More interesting was her experience with Tibetan Tulpas, consciously manifested entities. Quote, as I have said, some apparitions are created on purpose, either by a lengthy process resembling that described in the former chapter on the visualization of Yidam, or, in the case of proficient adepts, instantaneously or almost instantaneously. In other cases, apparently the author of the phenomenon generates it unconsciously and is not even in the least aware of the apparition being seen by others. And then I go on further, talking about how tulpas are magically formed through concentrations of thought. And this woman witnessed it in Tibet. And warned that the tulpas have the capability to come to our world and wreak havoc. Well, what did you see in the movie? That's exactly what happened. Old Max is creating the tulpas. He's manifesting these things into our reality. Which is what I argue is happening with the alien agenda in the book. That's what the whole book is about, is on some levels, we might be occult manifestation mediums for these aliens. And finally, that sequel to this movie called We Can Be Heroes, nice play on David Bowie, by the way. That sequel drops on December 25th on Christmas. Of all days, the birth of Christ. They're going to drop this blasphemous film. Blasphemous. It's a sequel to Sharkboy and Lavagirl. And you know what it's about? Guess what it's about? It's about an alien invasion. Yeah, that's right. Look, I've been telling you the alien agenda is next on the docket. And boy, oh boy, am I right. I think I'm right. I'll let you decide, though. Choose your own reality, as I always say. But there you go. That's the whole film analysis. Shout out Andrew on Patreon. I give you a hard time. I'm just kidding. This was actually very relevant. I thought it was a good choice here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me on this journey. If you want more bonus content, you know where to go. Hit the links in the show notes. I got a rockfin.com/creator/Isaac, where you get all the bonus stuff and then bonus podcast. Second podcast that I do over there for Rockfin only. You can go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Your choice. Whichever one you like better. Till next time, stay woke.